I'm asking, what was it about your childhood or the past that you love and you honestly believe that that period of your life was the best or was the best period in, you know, modern society? Is there a reason? Was the past really as good as we remember? Was your childhood quite as good as you'd like to remember? Or do we look back with rose-tinted glasses? It's also Prince George's first birthday, of course, so I want you to prove to me that your childhood was better than the childhood of children growing up today. Joining me now to hopefully tell us why we look back on our childhood so fondly is Avril Lehman, a leadership psychologist from the White Water Group. Hello, Avril.
Hello there.
Thank you so much for joining us this
Not
evening.
At all.
So what is it then? Why do so many of us seem to reach a certain age and then start saying, oh, it's not like it used to be, and reminiscing about a time in the past that seems so much better than the current period of our life?
Well, I don't know that we all do, but I think there are moments when we do, and I think it's when we swap the rose-tinted specs for the grass is greener sort of concept, because you said about the 60s. Now, I think in reality, for people living through the 60s, if you weren't in London or in St. Ives, that summer of love, 1966, allegedly, for most people, the 60s didn't really start till the 70s, that it was still pretty much an extension of the 50s. So sometimes we were just looking for something that was better, which would point to being not that happy nowadays. But actually, our own childhood, those memories are often powerful and vivid because it was the first time we lived through something. Everything was new right the way through. Once we get into adulthood, we're doing things again that we've done before. So it's never going to be feasible to get that fabulous, special moment quite the same way as you do as a child.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that some people, maybe that didn't live through a past time, seem to yearn for a period that they never experienced? Mm. And, you know, I think about people that are probably driven predominantly by their love of music, but then they'll get into the fashions and sometimes the look of that past era.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot about the music. You know, for instance, music is so powerful when you're young, but when you're really young, or in the past anyway, modern children are less so perhaps, but in the past the only music you had access to was your parents or your big sister or whatever. So I seem to know a lot of Elvis from an age that was a bit before me, and that's very evocative. You know, the first record into our house was bought by my father, and it was Elvis singing hymns. And it's a powerful memory. It was so special. And so you go on loving him, you know, all these years later. So it's, I think, the influence around us, which is why it's great to give children as many opportunities as possible. But I think that, you know, connecting with music, often then you hanker after being around, you know, that time, like Bob Marley. Mm. You know, it just sounds like such a cool time in a way, just from his music.
Of course, music and fashions quite often have this cyclical thing, don't they, where for a time they're avoided by most people. And I think probably the best example of that would be the music of ABBA. I remember very clearly when I started my career in radio in the early 80s that you'd never play an ABBA song, very rarely, because everyone thought that ABBA were naff. Yeah. They'd done their thing, they disappeared. Oh, that was the 70s and the costumes were ridiculous. Mm. And then suddenly, you know, ABBA are the coolest band around, and you can play an ABBA song now to a teenager, and they love it.
Yeah, it's extraordinary how things that, and it happens with fashion all the time. I was at a sort of summer ball for a school, and every song was ABBA. And I finally lost it and went to the DJ and said, look, if you're playing this for the older people here, you know, relatively speaking, could you stop? And he said, no, I'm playing it for all those mothers in their 20s who love it. Yeah. And I hadn't realized that. And I think there's that rediscovery when people rediscover something that was awfully good, that maybe was lost. But again, it had a formative influence. It was around when they were younger. It rings a bell and it takes you back to those very powerful memories. And, you know, I would go back to that. We're sometimes just not making new memories as strong.
Yes.
And for our kind of happiness, it's really important to make those new memories and to cherish them. I think it can be quite pessimistic to do the bah humbug, everything's rubbish and it wasn't as good. everything is getting better. You know, I could not imagine a world where, you know, I had all the technology I have now. If somebody had told me as a child that I would have all this exciting stuff, I couldn't have imagined it. So I think life gets better and better and better. But then I'm an optimist. And I think we have to look at the difference between optimists and pessimists. And I think that has an impact on how you look back in your childhood. Either it was all rubbish or it was better than now. Mm. And I think that's a bit sad.
Do you think that sometimes it's also conditioning by our parents? Because I do find myself probably doing what my parents used to do, where they would reminisce about bygone times and say, oh, you know, yes, but when we were young, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And although my children are very young, my daughter's three, and she's old enough to understand and comprehend things now. And in fact, today I took her back to a couple of places that I have very fond memories of in the Cotswolds, and we're kind of, you know, revisiting places that I know so well. And they may have changed in the past 30 years since I spent my childhood there, but she does embrace them, and she already asked me about them. But what I try and avoid is what my parents did, where they'd say, oh, yes, but, you know, it was nicer than this when we were young. But so I wonder how many of us are actually conditioned by maybe that negativity or that kind of love of the past.
I think there's something wonderful and there's something terribly good for our well-being about cherishing and celebrating. My own daughter, who's 26, her next birthday, she wants to go to my sister's in St. Andrews and do the beaches, do all sorts of things that are wonderful childhood memories. Mm. And there's that celebrating and cherishing. And sometimes in teenage years, you put all that behind you and it's not cool anymore. But actually looking back and saying, you know, there were, and although, you know, I say I love all the technology, often it's those simple pleasures. And at 26, she'll be running on that beach doing what she did at six, I'm sure.
Brilliant.
You know, I think that keeps us young as well when we are celebrating things rather than casting up or clinging to the past. You know, as I say, a lot of things have got an awful lot better. Mm. It's those cherished golden moments where our memories of childhood are often in the sunshine or in the snow. I've got some memories. Or they're with a loved person who's gone. Or they're particular. I know I have particular memories of my father reading me bedtime stories when my mother did it every night. Yeah. But I remember my father because it was really special.
Yeah.
So they're lovely memories. Don't lose them. But it's about making new ones as well.
You know, though, Avril, I have to ask you now for an honest answer to this question. You touched on this just a few moments ago about how you love modern technology and you wonder how you ever lived without it.
Yeah.
Now, tell me honestly, because I do feel this, and I can't believe that you don't feel the same. There are days when I think, oh, those days before a smartphone where everyone was expecting an immediate reply to an email because they think that wherever you are, no matter what you're doing, you should reply or respond to an email or a text, or that compulsion to constantly be checking social media. Do you never yearn for a time when we didn't have all that nonsense going on?
It's a little bit like I still get excited at the thought of mail and assume it's going to be something good, and it's usually a bill. And it's the same with emails. Now, I have a job I love. I have my own business. I don't know where the boundaries are. I love what I do. So I always look at emails. I'm actually disappointed if it's yet another spam selling me something I don't want. I always expect it to be good news, but I'm off the scale for optimism, so I do accept that's probably quite odd. But I have an excitement. At the moment, I've got a WhatsApp conversation, well, not at this instant, but a conversation going on with my cousin in New Zealand, my sister in Scotland, etc. You know, my mother didn't have that. She had a sister who left for New Zealand. They never got to speak. I love the fact that we know the trivial things that we're doing throughout the day and we share all our special moments. And I think, you know, women are actually taking to that hugely, that sort of social engagement through all of these technological options. I think they're great if they actually build. People always shroud wave that, oh, it would be the end of communication as we know it. I'm communicating even more than I ever have done. Some of it might be trivial, but it's also the important things get across on Twitter and Facebook and what have you, and the shared experiences are very powerful. So no, I don't want it switched off.
You know, Avril, you're not glass half full. You're glass overflowing. In fact, there's a puddle around your glass. There is, and I love it. You know, I love being in the company and chatting to people that have the same philosophy of optimism and of life.
Well, it's really good for you. There's a lot of science. It sounds happy clappy, but there's a deep level of science that shows that optimism, if we can manage it, not everybody would want to be like me, but you know, if you can raise your optimism a bit, it does such a lot for your health, for your well-being, and for your life expectancy.
Do you know what I'm doing, Avril? I'm making a note of your phone number, and I want some happy clappy from you the day, honestly, the day, I'm just thinking which date it is, it'll be the day when the bills come in, the bank statement, and the boss wants to see me for a meeting that wasn't previously scheduled, because that's normally bad news. So
but
I'm going to get...
That could be good news. Yeah. And you've still got blessings to count. You've still got things to be grateful
Avril,
for.
Avril, you are wonderful. It's been a pleasure chatting to you this evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No, it's all you're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Now, come on, we all feel better now having heard Avril. But look, are you someone who believes that the children today are less fortunate than when you were growing up as a child? Do you feel that in some way, despite all the stuff that they have, the materialism of today and possibly the stuff that fills their life that we never had,